This is the Level Up Podcast. I'm Taylor Petrinovich.
And I'm Kelly Gilster of 618 Studios.
And we are on a mission to help filmmakers level up their businesses and their craft so they can make more and work less.
We want to help you confidently take your business from mainstream to luxury, and it all starts right here.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode, which is actually our final episode of the 2023 year. I can't believe we're already at the end. I'm here with my girl, Taylor. Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good as well. And we have a really special guest, Megan Edgman with Salt Rock Studios. And she's our final guest of 2023. So thank you so much, Megan, for ending our season.
Hello, of course. I'm so excited to be here. What an honor to close out this year. Kind of crazy that we're almost at 2024. It's wild how fast this year has gone by.
It has gone by so fast. Paul and I were actually just chatting this morning over coffee, and he was like, wait, you and Taylor haven't even been doing this together for a year yet? And I'm like, no, we haven't. He's like, that's wild. He could not comprehend that. So this year has just flown by so much and so fast. And it's been an honor to be included now in Level Up alongside Taylor. And so thank you, Taylor.
Yeah, no, it's been so fun and it's been such a journey. And I think a co-host was exactly what this podcast needed. And you make it 10 times better. So thank you for being on this extremely crazy ride with me.
It has been wild. So Megan, we're so excited to chat with you today, learn more about your business, just your process, what your achievements have been so far, and where you're headed in 2024. So first, kind of paint a picture for our listeners who may not know about you and your business. Walk us back to when this all started for you.
So kind of crazy time to start, but I did start shooting weddings in 2020. I was graduating college that year and actually originally was in the film photo space for music. So I was shooting a lot of concerts and that kind of stuff. And obviously when COVID hit and the world shut down, that all stopped. And I was kind of in a position where I was getting ready to enter the world and it was kind of shutting down. And this idea of what I wanted to do shifted because I could no longer, you know, I wanted to go on tour and like travel the world with all these artists, and that wasn't happening anymore. And I was in South Carolina at the time. I went to the University of South Carolina, and I had someone in one of my classes who told me about weddings and kind of asked if I'd ever thought about shooting weddings, if I'd want to shoot weddings, kind of planted a seed, I guess, in what it could be. So toying around with the idea kind of as the world was, we thought the world was ending and shutting down, everything kind of stayed somewhat open in South Carolina. So I was actually able to book this. I booked my first wedding and it was like a backyard wedding. Probably 30 people were there, but I just remember sitting at my computer. I was at my parents' house at the time because like we'd left school, and I booked it, and just I never made that much money from a video ever. Like I didn't know that you could make that much money with a video, and I think it was like $1,200 at the time, but I was like, I wasn't making this with concerts. I was like, I didn't know that this existed and like maybe I could actually do something with this. So fast forward and I like shoot this wedding kind of blindsided. I think I solo shot it. I didn't know. I knew how to work a camera. Like I knew I've shot events before, but it was a different kind of event. Shot the wedding, edited the wedding. It's like, okay, like I want to do another one. So I kind of built out, I guess, a market in South Carolina because I went to school there, was starting out shooting there. And then I actually moved to Charleston, which is where kind of my business was founded. And I started setting up all of these shoots with just random couples because I was like, I don't know how to get experience shooting weddings without like, I didn't have any experience. So I was like, I need to make the experience for myself. So I would go out, I found these couples. I was like, hey, does someone want to go shoot around Charleston? And we would run around Charleston and I would just film them, like just me and my camera and shoot. And I would make these little videos and post them on my Instagram. And that's kind of how I started creating a portfolio from, because I only had shot like one wedding. And then I actually was in this Facebook group and they were looking for a videographer for a style shoot, which I had never heard of before, which I guess I was kind of doing myself. I just didn't know there was a term for it. And I show up to the beach and there's this model there, and I never worked with a model before. And she's in this like beautiful dress, and we just, I think we shot for like 30 minutes and I stayed up all night editing this video. And this was probably the most like high in fashion, like editorial feeling video that I had done yet. And I stayed up all night and I edited it, and I felt so excited and just fulfilled. And I posted that, and that I think is kind of where I found more of the passion for what we get to do and the editorial, like Lux feeling kind of video. Like, I loved that. And so through that video, I started to kind of build out my branding, business style from that. I just remember that video kind of being the pinnacle moment of when I was like, I want to do this, and this is like what I love. So long, that was kind of a lot, but that's kind of like how things shifted from the music to weddings, the wedding world.
Well, that's I'm amazing. Impressed. You have both me and Kelly beat on the price of your first wedding by a lot.
Okay, well, to be fair, I shot my like first wedding, but it was actually for someone else. They paid me to shoot like $200 to shoot this, but it was for their business. So I guess they just trusted me. I'd never shot a wedding in my life. And they're like, we need someone to shoot this. Like, are you free? I was like, sure. And then I shot it for $200. But my first wedding, yeah, it was $1,200.
I love it. It's like the concept That's of great. Like build the parachute on your way down. Like just jump and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm like, I got this.
How did you come up with that number? Did you have like mentors that like helped you along the way? Or like where did you decide like the value was like $1,200 to shoot a wedding?
I think I just Googled like what do you charge to film a wedding? And like it gives you such a range. I mean, even if you look now, I feel like Google will tell you like $1,500, which is so wrong. Like that's not, yeah, it's just not accurate. But in the moment I was like, yeah, let me just Google like how to charge for a wedding, because it just was a world that I had no idea how to enter. It was like for concerts you get paid $100 or like $50 if you're lucky, and for this wedding world I was like, okay, like I'm not gonna, I don't know, $50 seems like a little low for a wedding. So I Googled a little bit and did my research. And then, and I was also on one of those like advertising sites that should not be named. Okay. I do not support those.
Support.
I mean, that's how I got started. That's actually how I booked my first wedding. But I like was, yeah, it was an experience for sure. And I think you can kind of see like what people are charging too. So I was like, okay, well, these people look experienced, so I'm going to charge a little bit less because I'm new. And did that mixed with Google and just kind of came up with a number.
Okay, cool. So like you were on that like site. Did you have an Instagram? Did you have a website? I doubt, like, did you have all that?
I had an Instagram. So okay. It was called Visual Communications. Mm-hmm. And I had classes in photo, video, and graphic design. And we actually had a class like coding a website. I kind of like built out a website because this was towards the end of college where we were kind of doing all these final projects, and I actually designed my logo that I still have in my college class. And that's cool. I came up with this website in my college class, and like it was a portfolio for all of our work, but I kind of shifted it after graduation into like a wedding website and just the design and stuff. So I had an Instagram. I think my first Instagram was like Salt Rock Weddings. It's still out there, but nothing's on it. I deleted everything. And then I came up with Salt Rock Studios because I think at first I was going to separate like the weddings versus my other work. And then I realized it's way easier to grow when you're just kind of honed in on one topic or like one niche, I would say.
Right. Yeah. That's definitely something we advise our students who do multiple things, whether that's photo and video or corporate and weddings and whatever. It's really, really smart to just specialize in one thing and separate everything out for sure.
Yes. And definitely like when you're starting like to build, it's hard to have so many different avenues of like, okay, I'm going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of this. There's this book, Essentialism. I don't know if you guys have read it, by Greg McKeown. I think that's his last name. And it goes through this diagram, and it's basically talking about cutting out all of, so there's like a circle and there's a bunch of arrows pointing in different directions, and they're like short arrows. It's like you can only get pulled in so many different directions and go so far. And then there's a circle with like one really long arrow going up. And it's like when you focus on one thing, you can go so much farther than when you're being pulled in all of these different directions. And so I really started to think about that and focusing on, all right, if I'm going to do weddings, like I want to focus on this and build this out. And then from there, I feel like recently I've been kind of in this boat where I am expanding to a little bit more commercial stuff that I have posted on my business page. But I think now that I've built out a wedding brand and people kind of know me for that, it's okay. Whereas when I was just starting, when I was posting like 20 different things, it's like, okay, does she do weddings? Does she do this? Does she do this? But I feel like the corporate work I'm doing kind of aligns with the weddings that I'm doing. And so it kind of works. But I don't know if that just contradicted what I was saying. But I think when you're starting out, it's so important to focus on one area and master that. And then once you've done that, then it's easier to expand.
Yeah. Yeah. So what does your business look like today? Like, obviously you haven't been around all that long and you've done a lot in just 3 years. So how does your business look?
It has, I feel like this year has been kind of like a big year of growth for me. I think this year I actually did probably more second shooting than I did lead shooting for my own brand. And I have had the honor of shooting for some like pretty big names in our industry. And I think through that, I've learned so much this year. And I think like this time last year, if I was thrown into a luxury event, I would not know how to act. I wouldn't know how to shoot. I wouldn't know like the style of shots that I should be getting. I wouldn't know kind of like how to interact with the people there, with the other vendors there. And just, I didn't know because I never shot a luxury event. But this year, I've been able to shoot these like extremely high-end events and see how to act and see how to shoot and kind of learn how to approach them. And even just the prep for it. It's like setting up the timeline, like talking about it before, talking with your team more, building out a team. Like, I didn't know how to build out a team. And now I do. I can confidently build out a team and hire people to like help me and just... There's just been a lot of growth and education this year as far as being able to shoot those luxury events. And I think now at the end of the year, I'm definitely starting to book bigger events. I've booked two of my biggest weddings in the last, I don't know, month or two. And one of them happened in DC and one of them is happening in 2 weeks. And so I think just now knowing going into them, I feel so much more confident. And even just shooting, like I feel so much more confident shooting and getting the style of shots that I've seen in these other videos because I've been working with people who are shooting high-end events. So yeah, I really think it's so just cool. Been so much growth, honestly, this year.
Yeah, I love that you said that because I think that second shooting has a bit of a stigma to like the industry as a whole. And I see a huge shift in that looking different now. I think back in the day, second shooting was seen as something that, oh, they don't book out their own year, so they have to fill in and like make money and kind of hustle in other areas to make up for the weddings that they didn't book themselves. But I really want to encourage listeners, and it's exactly what Megan said, is that second shooting can be so just a pivotal thing for your business and in growth for your business, in building out that experience. And I kind of do want to get back to like one other thing you talked about. But first, I kind of wanted to say like we had back in our mastermind, actually last week, if you guys were listening, we had our alumni group with us joining. And Michael Flack with Flack Productions, soon to be J. Michael Films. He's rebranding really soon. And we're really excited to have guided him through that rebrand process in our time together with him in mastermind. He was asking like, I want more experience in the luxury market. How do I approach those companies where they would see me as a really good option as a second or a third shooter? So Megan, I kind of want to ask you, like, how did that all come about for you? So for those listening, how could they implement some of your same practices to be able to be considered to be a second shooter?
I think you need to put yourself in a position to, one, have the work. I know you, it's hard to have the work of a luxury event before shooting a luxury event, but whether that is setting up a style shoot so you can get the shots that people are going to see and like have that wow factor. Because I know for me, the way that I kind of got pulled into everything, it was just like a lot of different connections of like someone knowing someone who referred me to someone. I shot the event with them. I showed up. They were like, oh, like you really know what you're doing. Like, let's do more shoots together. So I kind of showed up, worked hard, was there, like did above and beyond. I was like setting up time lapses and like flying the drone, like doing all these extra things to kind of not earn. My value as a creative. So I think it is like you need to know what you're doing. You can't, like, obviously if you're just starting out, you're not going to be shooting a luxury event right away. You kind of have to build your way up to that. But I think doing shoots yourself and like having the content yourself to show these like people that you want to work with, because they want people that they're hiring to shoot similar to them. And so if you want to work with someone that you follow, that you like, pay attention to what they're shooting and pay attention to what they're doing. Pay attention to the style of shot that they're getting, the style of editing-ish, I guess matters a little bit less because you're not the one editing. I mean, you could be, but you're not. And so kind of shoot in a way that if they saw it, they would want to hire you. So you need to put in the work and you need to have like something to show them if they are interested in working with you. You can't just kind of message someone like, hey, I would love to shoot with you, and you go to their Instagram and there's like two videos on there. But if you are putting out work constantly, and I mean, this is what I was doing in Charleston, is I was constantly shooting with people. I was constantly getting on style shoots and shooting the kind of work that I wanted to without actually having to book those kind of events yet, because I couldn't. I like was so new and like I didn't know, like I was building out my brand still, but I was putting in the work to get the style of work that I wanted to book, if that makes sense.
I think people underestimate like the content. Like people don't understand, like you need to have the correct content, like to move forward. If you're just going to weddings that have like no centerpieces or no decor, no, there's like no way to like establish a style, practice, or even like prove that you could shoot it if you like literally haven't had the opportunity. So you need to go create the opportunity for yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You need to create it for yourself, because you're not just gonna magically book like a multi-million dollar wedding and just have this giant portfolio to send to people you want to work with. But you can go find a venue you want to shoot at, set up a style shoot there, like find a planner to work with that, like, you know, is kind of the thing that I've learned too, is you want to find people who are eager to grow with you, and who are also looking to jump markets and kind of book these bigger weddings, because you're not going to go message like the top tier planner and be like, hey, like, do you want to set up a style shoot at this venue? They're probably not even going to see the message one or respond. But if you find someone who you meet, and again, it's just putting yourself in these rooms or joining groups and reaching out to people and kind of meeting people where you're at, and you can kind of tell, you know, if they're eager to grow or not, then you're going to grow together. And through that, that's actually how I've seen more growth recently, is because I've found some planners that I've really connected with who are growing and who want to grow and who really see the value in video, which is very important. You want people to fight for video, which I have been very lucky to have planners who have put my names in rooms and fought for video and explained the value of video, because they're the ones essentially selling you to the client. Your work can only do so much, but if they're like really pushing for video and just explaining how important it is, then you're going to book that event. But circling back to just having the work and finding those people that you're going to grow with, set up a shoot with someone who seems like they want to grow with you, and then they'll probably be willing to do it if you give them content and you work together, and now you have this beautiful piece that you can send out to other people or just have on your page and show these other filmmakers who you want to work with, like, hey, I did this and I would love to work with you, just to show them that you can do what you say. You need the receipts.
Yeah, I love that. Kind of also really quickly going back to, you were saying that like I needed to learn how to conduct myself at a luxury event. I needed to learn the shots that I needed to capture at a luxury event. In your mind, can you give some examples to the listeners that maybe don't really understand what that means? So like, you know, what was the big difference to you from maybe shooting more of that budget wedding in the very beginning? I mean, we were all there, you know, shooting budget weddings in the very beginning. And what's the etiquette? What's the difference between that you learned in second shooting and having that experience with luxury events that was different than maybe events that you were shooting in 2020, you know? Yeah. Paint a picture for us.
Yeah. So definitely there's, I think, a few categories within just the different types of events. The first is just like mannerisms. I think you have to think a lot more about where you're standing, what you're doing, looking busy, like at a luxury event. You never want to just be kind of like looking like you're doing nothing. You just like want to be moving, or even if it's just walking around, just like looking busy but not being in the way, and learning how to kind of dance around the photographer, like lead when there's time and like you want to step in and get your shot. But it's like you really have to learn how to work with the team that's on the wedding day too. So for example, like at a more budget wedding, you're probably not reaching out to the photographer beforehand, which if you are, that's amazing, like keep doing that. But I think something that I've learned through these other events is that you need to be communicating with the other creatives that you're working with. You need to be communicating with the planner. A lot of times with the more budget weddings, that's a coordinator. So you're not really having to talk to the planner beforehand. It's kind of the week before thing. They're sending you the timeline and that's it. You show up, they're kind of there setting up. But with a higher end wedding, you're working with the planner. You're having to talk with the planner, like sometimes hopping on a call with the planner and the couple and just really working through the planner. And it's not necessarily working as much through the couple as with a more budget wedding. And as far as like attire and stuff, even too, you're showing up to a budget wedding. You don't have to think about what you're wearing as much. I mean, you can wear like, don't wear jeans, but but you could show up. I actually think I did definitely wear black jeans to a wedding. But now showing up to these more luxury events, I'm always wearing black tie. Even if it's a more chill wedding, like I still want to show up and I want to look the part, and people take you more seriously when you show up and you look professional. And you don't have to think about that at a budget wedding. Or I wasn't thinking about it. I was like, all right, like I can wear this dress and it's fine. And sometimes there are moments to kind of wear what the guests are wearing. I've started to do that more often, where if there's like a color palette or a theme, you can dress accordingly and it's more fun, but you're still like paying attention to that. And again, that's something that you're getting from the planner. There's like a design deck. There's all this stuff that wasn't happening before that I had to pay attention to. And shooting details, like learning the importance of shooting details for the planner, because they're your client as well. And I wasn't thinking about that. There wasn't as many details to shoot at these budget weddings. And so all these little things. And as far as like the style of shot, again, this depends on the creative. Everyone shoots differently, but I do feel like as I've been more in the higher end market and just shooting that and just seeing what other people are shooting and how they're shooting it, it's like the importance of getting all of the details and getting the invitation suite and making sure you're getting wides and tights and mediums and drone shots and all these things of just the details, because that matters. Like so much money has been poured into that for these bigger weddings and you didn't have that before. And so there's just like, and as you start to shoot more events of that caliber, you kind of just pick up on body language and just how to act at the event and just to stay out of the way, but also looking like you're doing work. And it's just, you just want to look as put together and professional as you can. And you just have to think more, I think, about how you're acting versus a more budget wedding.
Yeah. There's a little bit more scrutiny.
There is.
For sure. Just,
there is. And people will say things to you. Like, I mean, I've been in events where things have happened and it's like you want to always be on and just always on.
Yes.
Always
and
on.
I mean, we don't want to scare listeners away. Obviously, this is a podcast, like encouraging filmmakers and photographers. We actually have like a pretty substantial planner listenership too. So reach the luxury market, and all of these things may sound intimidating, but please know that like it's it's only scary in the beginning, and then it becomes a little bit more second nature. And then also, like, this is part of what qualifies you to charge what you charge. Like, it's not all in the work that you're actually producing and the quality of work. It's the quality of your brand and how you're showing up and how you're serving the client. You know what I mean? So, like, all of these things are what warrant
and a higher price. I don't want it to, like, scare anyone off, because really also something I've learned is that once you are, it's just like little things, and once it becomes second nature, so you're not thinking about it as much. But now when I go into a bigger wedding, I'm not as nervous as I was in the beginning, because I know, like, I've done this before. Like, I've worked with these people before, like, whether it's a team I'm second shooting with or my own wedding. Like, I just feel a lot more confident going into it because it has become second nature, just because you learn this through, again, this year I've done so much second shooting. So I've learned this through second shooting. And like you talked about before, like, just having, putting the work out there, then being able to book these second shooting gigs with people that you want to shoot with, you're going to learn, and it's just going to become second nature. And then you're going to be excited to go into the event because you feel confident that you can do it, because you can. It's just the experience and the repetition and learning. And once you have that down, it's second nature.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've obviously put in so much work, whether that be through your own brand or second shooting or different things like that, to get you to where you are. But I would love for the listeners to kind of, like, understand where you are now. I know that you did a big move and your price point is much higher than $1,200 now. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So I did move to California almost 2 years ago now, which is crazy to think about. I feel like it just happened, but I also feel like I've been here for a long time. And so essentially with that, I made the mistake in the beginning, because all of my weddings were on the East Coast. So when I first moved out here, I wasn't charging for travel when I booked them the year before on the East Coast. So I was flying back on my own dollar to the East Coast, and I felt like I was busy all the time just because I was traveling so much. So I didn't market myself for California the first year I moved here. And so the beginning of kind of all this year has been grind mode and really just like putting in the work to build out my brand out here this year, because I've had time to, and I've been traveling a lot. I mean, I've shot weddings probably all of, like, I've shot weddings all over the country this year. I think I've only shot like 4 in California this year. But with that said, I've learned kind of how to build a market. Like, I have a market on the East Coast, and now I kind of had to restart on the West Coast. But with that, again, it's just learning the value of finding planners who will fight for me. So I do still shoot a decent amount in DC. I have a planner out there that I work with. She's amazing. And my family lives there, so it's fun to be able to fly back. And then there's a planner that I connected with actually on a styled shoot in San Francisco. And she, again, is someone who just has been fighting for video and likes video and sees the value in that. And so through kind of connecting with some of these planners and building relationships with them, I've been able to expand my pricing with that. And I think that that just comes with time and showing your value, and it takes work, but it's worth it. And when you do get that booking, you get really excited. You're like, okay, someone actually sees the value in my work. And once you get that one wedding of the price point that you want, I feel like you just, it starts to roll in more. It's, I don't know if it's like a confidence thing or just like manifesting. I don't know. But I feel like once I did hit the number that I wanted, I wasn't settling for less. I mean, some weddings you really want and you're able to kind of play with the pricing a little bit. But I think that once you see that other people see the value in your work, it's a lot easier to charge that, and it's easier to say no, which is hard in the beginning. But when you say no to something, it leaves opportunity to say yes to something later that aligns more with what you're wanting to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are you charging now, if you don't mind us asking?
So this year, towards the end of the year, my sweet spot has been $8,500. But for 2024, I'm really shooting to move up to $9,500, closer to $10,000, and kind of have that be the sweet spot for 2024.
Yeah, amazing. Incredible. I mean, 3 years, like, wow.
So yeah. Good. That's great.
Yeah. So that's where I'm sitting at right now. And I just feel like when you are at the point where you do have those people who are who you're working well with and who are pushing for video, like, you're able to charge what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so encouraging. And I hope that so many out there are encouraged by the fact that like your journey doesn't have to look like everyone else's journey. So like if someone has told you that like you're in a certain area and you can't ever charge a certain amount of money because everyone else in the area caps out at 3,500, like just know that like you don't have to fall into that mold just because that's what the masses are doing. You know, you can absolutely curate a brand that demands a higher price. You can curate an experience that demands a higher price. And, you know, finding those sub markets within your local area is absolutely possible. I feel like I just see one of my biggest like things that hurts my heart so much is when I see people that say, well, no one around me charges more than $2,500. So I'm just kind of stuck here doing that. And that's absolutely not the case. You know, whether you want to do destination stuff, you can absolutely market your pricing to that destination area. You can also become the premium option in your local market too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And like putting yourself in positions where you can book that number.
Yeah. But you can't just like throw out a number and not put in the work. You absolutely have to build on this and do the work to do that. I was talking to Taylor a little while back about just this analogy of thinking of like a bodybuilder, right? So maybe you're seeing someone else at the gym and they're, you know, you're bench pressing what, like, let's go like heavy. So someone's bench pressing like 200 pounds or something. I don't know. Is that heavy? I'm not sure. But you're kind of stuck. But you're kind of, you know, bench pressing 120 pounds. And then all of a sudden you're like, you know what? One day you're like, you know what? I'm just going to throw those plates on. I'm going to bench press 200 pounds, but I'm not going to put any of the work in. I'm not going to condition the way I should. I'm not going to train my body the way that it should. And it's just going to crumble on top of you. It's just not going to work if you haven't put in the work. So I think that's the biggest thing that can be tricky for people is that hearing Megan's story and everything is like she put in the work, like she sought out those styled shoots that she didn't even know were styled shoots and then branched into styled shoots and was, you know, she navigated her brand in a way where she knew it was aligning with the clientele as she raised her prices. And so it just goes so much. I just wanted to say that it just goes so much further into just charging a price to charge that. Like, you have to put in the work with your marketing, you know, with the right planners, you know, Megan, as you were saying, like you have to market with the planners that value video and are advocates for video, and it all has to blend together. Taylor and I, that's why, you know, we love our program so much. We love the course so much. It's just building all of that so that when it comes time to throw 200 pounds of plates on there, you can easily, you know, sustain that weight and sustain that pricing in your business.
Well said. Kelly is our queen of metaphors and I'm always here for them.
Megan, thanks so much for sharing just this journey with us. I loved learning so much more about where you started and in just 3 years, you know, where you're at is so inspiring. I hope that those listening feel the exact same way. Can you kind of share with us, like, for those who may not be familiar with your brand, where they can find you or other types of offerings that you might have out there for filmmakers?
My Instagram at saltrock.studios and should pop up. And then I actually just launched this education platform that I've kind of started diving in a little bit more on the editing side. And that is linked in my bio, but it's Salt X, like Salt by Salt X, Salt Rock Studios.
And then, sorry, my son just like burst in through the door.
Oh, Micah, do you want to sit quietly with us? And she's going to talk.
Hi.
Okay. You want to be very quiet?
Uh-huh.
He's oh no, now my daughter's rolling in too. Oh my gosh.
we'll wrap this up. So yes, I launched this education platform. And then I also started offering mentorships, which you can find in my website, linked in my bio. If you go to my website, there's an education tab. You can click that. And then I have some resources in there as well. We can talk all things video, editing, business, all the stuff. So find me on there, message me whenever, and I try to respond to everyone. So thank you guys so much for having me. This was so fun, and it's so great to just get to talk to you guys more. I feel like we talk so virtually nowadays. It's nice to kind of sit face to face with people and have these conversations.
Yeah, no, it's been so fun. We're definitely going to keep up with you on the gram. We love everything that you're doing. So don't be a stranger. Let's keep up in the DMs, and maybe we'll have you back on the podcast once you've, surpassed your 200-pound bench press that you're aiming for.
My 250 pounds, maybe.
There we go.
Great.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Megan. And I'm of super course. Close to you. I'm in Orange County. So you're 40 minutes from me. So close. We'll have to get together sometime soon.
We definitely will.
Thank you for joining us in this conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please help us reach more filmmakers just like you by taking a screenshot and sharing it on social media. Don't forget to tag us at The Level Up Co.
And join us again next week, same time, same place, as we continue to level up the industry together.